I'd like you to turn again, if you would, to Luke 13, verse 22. Luke chapter 13 and verse 22. Luke chapter 13 and verse 22. As the scripture tells us here, Jesus was passing through from one city and village to another. He was teaching. He was preaching. He was healing the sick. He was casting out the devils. And he was proceeding on his way to Jerusalem, to that place where he knew he would be crucified. And as he is on the way, teaching and preaching, as he is ministering to people and helping them, someone said to him, in verse 23, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" Of course, this is a question we might wrestle with. And we might look at several other passages of Scripture and attempt to answer that particular question. And there's a sense in which this is a theoretical question. We really don't know how many God has in His plan actually to be saved. We might ask, are there many? Are there few? It is a theoretical question. And interestingly enough, Jesus does not, as is often his custom, he does not directly answer the question which is posed to him. Here is a question, are there just a few that are going to be saved? And Jesus turns the tables, as it were, and speaks directly to the individual who is asking the question and says to that individual, "Strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Here's the answer to the question. Are there but a few, just a few, who are going to be saved? Strive to enter by the narrow door. That's the answer to the question. In other words, you, dear friends, don't be so concerned about answering the question how many there are going to be. Be concerned about your own relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And you yourself strive to enter the narrow door. In other words, Jesus says, be on the way of salvation. I think this is in essence what Jesus says here. Be on the way of salvation. Be on the pathway of salvation. Be in the pathway of salvation, if you will. Of course, Jesus is talking about entering a narrow door here. But really, he's talking about being in the way of salvation, the pathway of salvation. I was kind of amused myself when I thought about the analogy. We sometimes talk about parking in the driveway and driving on the parkway. And it's sort of this kind of thing that Jesus has in mind. I really think he has in mind here that he's talking about a door, enter in the narrow door, but he's thinking about the way of salvation and walking in the way of salvation here, you see. I'd like you to look at a parallel passage which brings this out. It's Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. And I think you see it clearly here in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. There is a narrow door and a narrow way. There is a broad door and a broad way. Enter by the narrow door, Jesus says. Strive to enter
by the narrow door, Jesus says.
Now, you do know what the narrow door is, don't you? The narrow door is the way of repentance, the way of faith, and the way of holiness or sanctification. True conversion, as we have repeatedly said, involves repentance and faith, those two things. A turning away from sin and a turning to Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross. And that's the demonstration of God's love to you and to me. God demonstrated His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the demonstration of God's love. And so we turn to Jesus Christ. And we turn away from sin. And real conversion involves repentance and faith. But real conversion also involves holiness. Holiness. Sanctification. I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles to Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Where the writer to the Hebrews says, "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." The King James Version says, "And the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Pursue peace with all men and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We must pursue holiness. We must pursue a life of more and more dying to sin and living to righteousness. Each one of us. Without it, we will not see the Lord. Turn back now to Luke 13 and verse 24. See, here's the narrow door, the way. Repentance, faith, and holiness. And what does Jesus say about this narrow door? Strive to enter. Strive to enter. The word that Jesus uses here is the word from which we get our English word, agonize. This is a very strong word. Agonized over this whole proposition of the way of salvation. Work at the way of salvation. Now, I'm not trying to say that we get to heaven by our good works. But Jesus is laying before us a very important lesson. Strive to enter. Work at it. Agonize over this. This is important. This is what Jesus is saying. It is very important. It's the same word that the Apostle Paul uses when he talks about the athletic games in Greece. In Athens or in Corinth, there were athletic games similar to the Olympic games in Corinth. And Paul talks about the athletic games, and he talks about them in terms of the Christian faith. And he says those who really run in the games, exercise, self-control, and they work at it. It's a real labor for them. It's a labor of love, to be sure, because they love the game. I remember when I was in high school and college playing football. Some of you may remember those days. Maybe some of you played basketball. I went out for basketball. I never could make a basketball team. But I was able to play some football, and I'm also reminded at the moment of a letter I got from the military academy here just this week about the rugby team at West Point. And I told my wife, "This is great. I'm going to get some rugby news because I really love that game." And we would go out and play our hearts out, and we would work at it. We loved it. And it's that way when you get out on the athletic field. Well, it's the same sort of thing Jesus is talking about here. This is a labor of love, and you work at it because you love it so much, you see. Strive to enter by the narrow door, Jesus is saying. And you have to strive. It's an absolute imperative. Why? Well, look at verse 24 again. Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. I looked up this particular text in one of my favorite commentaries, and I was absolutely amazed at what this commentary said, because this commentary said that everyone who seeks will enter the kingdom, which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus says right here. You look at it again. Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Now, why this particular commentator said what he did, I have no idea. I really don't. Because it is exactly the opposite of what Jesus says. Many will seek to enter, but will not be able. And I think that's something. And I think what Jesus is saying here is this. That many of us do seek to enter the kingdom. Many of you do, don't you? Don't you seek to enter the kingdom? I want to go to heaven, don't you? Really? I do. We seek to enter the kingdom. But is it the first priority in your life or in my life? What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth or sixth or seventh, but first. Now I know as you listen to me, you could say, well, Denny, you're the pastor of the church and you have to take that kind of position because that's your job. And there's a sense in which that's correct. It is my job. It's more than my job. It's my calling. God has called me to this task. But if you and I do not seek first the kingdom of God, and if we do not seek first His righteousness, we're not going to enter the kingdom. That's the point, it seems to me. That when we are content to let seeking the kingdom of God be second or third or fourth on the priority list, we are not, as Jesus says, striving to enter the kingdom. Strive to enter the kingdom, Jesus says, for I say to you, many will seek and will not be able to enter. It was just this past week, I think, that there was an interview of Bo Schembechler, retired football coach. And he was talking about how he would give a pep talk to a team. I think he even went back and gave a pep talk, didn't he? The team. Everything you do has an effect on the team. How that team is going to function on the field. How that team is going to perform. Everything you do is going to have an effect on the team. And so you need to remember that, men. You need to remember that everything you do is going to have an effect on how you play in that game and how we are going to come out at the end of the game.
What Jesus is saying is, everything we do in this life is going to have an effect in the end. Eternally. Strive to enter the narrow gate. Not just second place, but first place. Now that doesn't mean you forsake farming or forsake duties at the college or forsake what you do in the school system or anything else. But it does mean that Jesus Christ has the priority in your life and in my life. What does Jesus mean here when he says, I tell you, many will seek to enter and will not be able? Well, this word that Jesus uses here, will not be able, is kind of interesting. It's the very same word, and I'd like you to turn to this, the very same word Paul uses in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. You may not need to turn to this particular text because it's a very common one which we memorize. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The King James Version says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I am able, I have the capability, spiritually, emotionally, morally, mentally. I can do many things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, the root of my ability to function in this life is really not myself. The root of my ability to function in this life is Jesus Christ. I know I've said this before to you folks. I can't imagine living in this world at this stage without Jesus Christ. I can't imagine it. Because Jesus Christ is my ability to function in this life. He really is. And without Him, as Jesus Himself says, without Him, I can't do anything. I really can't. And I think what Jesus is saying now, after comparing Philippians 4:13 with Luke 13:24, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. They won't have the spiritual, moral, mental capabilities. I really think what Jesus is saying here is that there are many who are going to church like we are, who are praying like we are, who are reading the Bible like we are, who are singing the Psalms like we are. They are, in this sense, striving to enter the kingdom. But Jesus Christ is not the root of their life. And they're seeking, all right. But it's a little different than this striving and going after the kingdom and the things of the kingdom because you love it. It's that football analogy again. I know that some of you love that game. I like that game too. I do. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 25 goes on to tell us why we need to strive to enter. Look at verse 25. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, "Lord, open to us," then he will answer and say to you, "I do not know where you are from." Now, this is an amazing statement. Strive to enter. Because when the door is shut by the householder who is Jesus, you won't enter and I won't enter after that door is shut. We will not enter. Even though we may say with our own lips, "Lord, Lord." Notice the confession of these individuals. "Lord, open to us." Does the NIV say that? Or does it say, "Sir," in verse 25? I didn't look. It says, "Sir." Okay? The more literal translation would be, "Lord." "Lord, open to us." And of course, the way of salvation is to make a confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. But Jesus himself says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out devils in your name and do many mighty things in your name?' And he will say, 'Depart from me. I never knew you.'" You see, it's the same situation here. "Then he will answer and say, 'I do not know where you are from.'" Are you really from my household? Are you really part of my household? That's what it comes down to. And it becomes more pointed in verse 26. "Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.'" One of the commentators says that these words, "We ate and drank in your presence," may very well refer to participation in the Lord's Supper. And we do that, don't we? The Lord willing, next month we will gather in a participation of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is, in fact, the highest privilege of the Christian in this life, exemplifying the vital communion we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's called communion. Because that vital communion we have with Jesus Christ is shown forth. And we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And we are together making one confession. But here, you see, are those who are outside now, after the door has been shut, and they say to him, "Well, Lord, we don't understand, because we were there in your presence eating and drinking." "You taught in our streets. We heard your message." We did hear your message. "You taught in our streets." And I really believe that one of the things that takes place right here is that Jesus Christ teaches. It's not because I'm here. It could be anyone. But when the Word of God is read, and when the Word of God is explained, and the Holy Spirit uses that Word and applies it to each one of our hearts, what is taking place but Jesus Christ teaching? He teaches by His Word and Spirit, showing us the way of salvation. We were there. We ate and drank with you. We listened to your teaching. We don't understand. And he will say to them, verse 27, I tell you, I don't know where you're from. Folks, every one of us in this room tonight, myself included, we need to strive to enter by the narrow door. We need to truly seek the Lord while He may be found. We need to truly call upon Him while He is near. As Isaiah says, it's absolutely imperative that we do it. Truly. Not second place or third place, but first place. Why? Because, dear friends, there is in this room tonight people who may be left standing outside the door when it is shut. May it not happen that way. But Jesus says, strive to enter by the narrow door, for I say to you, many will seek to enter by it and will not be able. Take it to heart, will you? Please, take it to heart. And I know one thing. When we do, and we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, there'll be some big changes made in each one of our lives. And the first change that will be made is that Jesus Christ will be much higher on the priority list. Jesus Christ will be. He will be, of necessity. Now, I'm not just saying this, again, because it's my task. We're talking about eternal verities, you see, and entrance into the kingdom of our God.